Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries around the world over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. And the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on education when we come back. You know, Americans today are interrogated, watched, measured, and counted more than at any time in our history. Surveillance and electronic record keeping of nearly every routine activity from bank deposits to medical visits has produced greater efficiency and greater security. But it's also responsible for a very discernible erosion of our ability to live our lives free from outside scrutiny. Now, the federal government currently maintains an average of 15 files on every American. Now, that's according to estimates by the Office of Management and Budget. Closer to home, state and local governments use computers to keep their own files on us. And a study conducted by the New York Committee on Open Government found that that state, New York, and its agencies operated 1,776 separate data systems. Those systems all contained 10,799 categories of information about New York residents. And all of those systems combined contain between 2 and 10 million records each. Now, information about you is gained from about 63 sources, and this information is gathered and stored in a very reasoned and logical manner for later retrieval and use. Now, would you like to know how your government, your bank, your insurance company, business, and industry obtains all of this information about you? What are their sources? How is it stored? How is it retrieved? What do they want it for in the first place? Well, knowing how information is gathered and what information is being stored and what information you want to keep personal and private actually puts you in the driver's seat in your quest for privacy. Now, if you'd like more information about privacy and privacy issues, why don't you call us here at the law school? The number is 417-273-4967. While you're at it, be sure to ask for our free general law CD package and let me tell you how to train yourself to be just as personal and just as private as you want to be. It's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free. And that number again, 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website and send us an email. The website is georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email and send us an email request. Again, that's georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we've been talking about education this week. Education, that's the place where you become institutionalized at an early age. They institutionalized me when I was age 6, and I didn't think of myself as being underprivileged or being institutionalized until many years later. I looked back over the experience, and I thought to myself, I've been totally brainwashed. I was given a book, I remember in the 9th grade, you know, toward the end of my indoctrination, I was given a book by Mrs. Lowry, and it was it was history class. It was a history book. And the book made some statements concerning history that I thought were an error because my grandma and granddad had told me about the Spanish-American War. And my grandma and granddad were alive during the Spanish-American War. My grandma and granddad voted for Teddy Roosevelt, the guy that was the general, you know, that won the Battle of San Juan Hill and so on. So I thought that my granny and grandma probably knew a little something about this thing called the Spanish-American War and what they'd told me and what the history book said were at seeming opposite ends. And I asked the teacher, and the teacher assured me that the book was correct and that grandma and grandpa were wrong. So I went home and reported to Grandma that she was wrong and that she needed to change her opinion concerning the war. And my granny, you know, she wasn't one to take much guff off of anybody. And she said, well, where was this teacher in 1898? And I paused and I thought for a moment. Now, my teacher, Mrs. Lowry, was probably 40 years old. This is about 1955. And my granny said, well, now, will you subtract 40 from 1955, and what do you get? And I said, about 1915. So when did the Spanish-American War take place? And she said, well, I said, well, it was 1898. And she said, well, it was 1898 before 1915. And I said, yes, it was. And my granny looked at me, and she says, well, now, who do you think knows more about the Spanish-American War, your teacher, who was born 17 years after the war ended, or me, who was alive and reading the newspaper accounts when the war occurred? And I kind of went through that in my brain, you know, just a little mental exercise. And I said, you know, just common sense would say the person who was there on the scene probably knows more about it. Let's take a look at 9/11. Let's look down at history now, 30, 40, 50, 60 years from now. And there's going to be stories written about 9/11. Now, you were here when it occurred. You read the newspaper accounts. Perhaps you were even watching television when it happened. And maybe you've seen some of the DVDs analyzing the collapse of the buildings and the inside job and the implosion of that 42-story building the very same day of 9/11. And maybe you know a little something more than the historians, the teachers, and the students, let's say, 50 years or 60 or 70 years from now. Now, you got to remember that this was 60 years after the Spanish-American War that this story was being given to me. And so at an early age, probably 15, 16 years old, I got my first indoctrination, first lesson in public school doesn't necessarily teach the truth. They teach history. I don't deny that. But whether the history that you learn in public school is the truth or not, could be up for grabs. The same thing is true about the Civil War, the Revolutionary War, about religion, politics, about economics, and so on down the line. In fact, the Bible tells us very plainly that the whole world has been deceived. And if that's true, if that statement's true, then you've been deceived. Deceived about what? What do you know for a fact, and then what is it that you believe you know for a fact? Now, we've already covered the fact that public school has been taken over by a cadre of people with a New World Order bent. That ought to tell you right away that you probably don't want to educate your children there unless, of course, you subscribe to the New World Order philosophies. Now, if you're one of those that subscribes to this philosophy, well, then public school is the place to send your child. If you don't, well, then maybe you ought to be thinking about it. Now, the Saturday Evening Post had a story about who should control education. So if I ask you that question, who do you think should control education? George Bush and the Republicans, or Bill Clinton and the Democrats, or Mikhail Gorbachev and the Communists, or how about you? Yeah, you. You're working for Walmart and you're a truck driver, or you're Sally Housewife, and what's wrong with you controlling the education of your own child? I know it's a wild new concept. Most people have never entertained that idea before, but the article starts off and says, a terrible tension is developing in this country. Who will control education? The dilemma provokes all manner of scare words like censorship, pornography, Marxism, antagonists, or manning the battlements. First, picture the father and mother who deplore the anti-traditional values and the vulgarity they believe their 14-year-old daughter is being taught in public schools in sex education class. Then picture the crosstown couple up in arms against challenges like obscene or anti-American regarding their 14-year-old son's textbooks and assigned reading material. The first couple want their child taught about the country's religious heritage, about the biblical account of creation, as well as about the theory of evolution, about literature that does not depend upon explicit discussion of sex and violence or upon the use of dirty language. The second couple want their child to be free to read anything, to grapple at an early age with the realities of life, to make his own judgments about religion, lifestyle, and history. Now, complicating the standoff is the role of the professional educator, a majority of them siding with the second couple, or indeed perhaps even leading the second couple, prefer to break the anachronistic shackles and to make the schools a marketplace of ideas. They want the couple with traditional values to let the professionals run the schools, professional educators. And the second couple, those emphasizing the freedom to do your own thing, have held a decided edge in American education for many years now. And I'm not sure if their edge is the result of numbers of people or of decibels, but I tend to think it's the latter. Now, although this group has been forceful, hardworking, and outspoken, I'm not sure that it would carry the day in a public vote about who should be educating your child. Now, I'm convinced that parents are, beyond challenge, ultimately responsible for educating children. They hold final authority in most cases, obviously. Parents delegate a good deal of the teaching to others, usually to school systems. And that probably works, but not if they delegate total responsibility and authority as well. Now, that's what we Americans have done, and we're trapped now in our own terrible dilemma. Well, I faced that problem. I've had several children, and I took a look at it, and I said, I'm dissatisfied with the public school system, and I don't believe they're teaching my children the truth. And I object to the historical lies, to the sex education lies. I object to the lying deception that was being promulgated in the schools with my children. I objected to it when I was going to school, and I used to challenge teachers from time to time. My dad would give me a little ammunition. I'd go in there and challenge them. Didn't do any good, but my dad took me out of public school for 2 years and educated me in private school. That was the best 2 years, I think, of my educational experience, because it taught me to question both sides, both religion and secular education. And the truth of the matter is they're both lying to you. The churches are lying to you about religion and the Bible. And the school system are lying to you about evolution and history. And both of these camps have motivations. Both of them have an agenda. What I'm interested in is just the facts. As old Webb used to say years ago, just the facts, ma'am, just give me the facts. His name was Joe Friday, and he was on a program called Dragnet. And it was a pretty popular program back in the 40s and 50s. And people, when they get to talking, about their great aunt Bessie and so on, and old Jack Webb, his name was Joe Friday, in the series, and he'd say, well, now, lady, just give me the facts. Just give me the facts now. Just leave off with the BS. And that's kind of where I'm at. I'm sitting here saying, well, just give me the facts here, and let's get off the BS. Let's take a look here at another little factor. The state will prosecute me for not sending my child to school. When I talk to people about private school or about homeschool, the first thing that comes out of their mouth is, well, the state's going to prosecute me if I don't send my child to public school. That's a lie. And as Mark Twain used to say, it's a damn lie, because every state in the union, I can't speak for you Canadians now, I can't speak for the Australians and the New Zealanders, I don't know what you people do. But here in the United States, there is a provision in every state school code for homeschool and private school. Home and private. So let's suppose that you're a Mormon, and you object to the public school's curriculum. I'll just bet you that there's got to be a private parochial school in the Mormon church someplace. The Catholics have them, the Baptists have them, the Lutherans have them. Now let's suppose that you're not religious. You know, you're an atheist or an evolutionist or whatever you are. There are parochial schools that are non-religious, and there are curriculums that don't mention God at all. But if you're objecting to the lies that are being promulgated in public school, and you have a different bent, there's a parochial school out there, but there's a better school system than that, a third school system called home school, and every state in the union provides for those home schools. So question number one, the state will prosecute me for not sending my child to school, is a lie. Every state has a homeschooling law. Number two, I'm not competent to teach my own child. In the analysis of homeschooled children, it is found that there is no difference in the performance of students who come from untrained as opposed to trained teachers. The average is they score at the 87th percentile. And while it's true, there's a large proportion of homeschooled students, I think it's around 17%, it's a pretty high proportion out of the total, that are educated by teachers. And get this, if that's true, if a high proportion, 17% of the homeschooled students are being taught by their parents, who are themselves certified teachers, what in the hell does that tell you about the public school system? The teachers themselves prefer to educate their children at home rather than expose them to the rot that they're fed in public school. I mean, that's a testimony of and by itself. Did you know that 90% of pediatricians do not vaccinate their children? Let me tell you that one again. 9 out of 10 pediatricians do not vaccinate their children at all. Oh, they're busily vaccinating your kid, but they're not vaccinating theirs. That is a testimony of and by itself. If you've got a brain at all, you'd have to be brain dead to let that pass by without saying, oh my God. Number three, children will be unable to socialize with others. No, the truth of the matter is, in every test done, every study that's been done, comparing homeschool to public school, the homeschool child is better socialized, better able to make it in the world, better able to communicate with and to socialize with the society around them than are the public school children. Think about it for a second. You're complaining about your kid. He comes home with his hair dyed purple in a mohawk hairstyle, with his clothes bagging down, you know, the seat of his pants down around his knees someplace, and you say, oh my God, where did this kid get this? Okay, here's where he got it. He got it from the other 15-year-old pimply-faced punks in school, because your child is being socially deprived. That's right. You see, he is segregated by age, and 8 hours a day, his only contact with other human beings is with other 15-year-old pimply-faced punks like himself. So he learns his morals from 15-year-olds. He learns his economics from 15-year-olds. He learns his drug habits from 15-year-olds. He learns all of the things that you detest from all of the 15-year-olds around him, which is his peer group. Right? Now, you shouldn't be surprised then that his values, his beliefs, and his practices are somewhat at variance with yours. Let's take the homeschool kid. He spends the same 8 hours a day, but he spends it with you, his parents. He spends it with you, the parents, in their normal business activities. For instance, my daughter, homeschooled, during the course of a day would go to the post office, where she came into contact with Marilyn, the postmistress. She would then go to the supermarket, where she would come into contact with the cashier at the supermarket, another adult. In fact, in the real world, we come into contact with adults 80% of the time and with other 15-year-old pimply-faced punks 20% of the time. But your child is being exposed to the pimply-faced punks all of the time, and with adults a very small percentage of the time. Boys and girls, you know, we emulate what we see, what we hear, and what we think we know. And so some kid comes to school and he's wearing a certain type of clothes and he wants to be a trendsetter, and so your kid sees that kid and he says, well, that's what I want to do because that's what the other kids are doing, and that's not where mainstream America is located. So when it comes to socialization, in every test done, homeschooled children are more socially adapted to the real world than public school children. Number four, you're afraid that your child will not be able to get into college. That's a lie. The truth of the matter is, if your kid makes application to a college of his choice,
and puts on the application that he's homeschooled, he is more likely to be accepted than if he puts down public school. That's the fact of the matter. More likely, not less. And then finally, number five, my child won't be able to get a job. Oh, no, that's a lie. If your child goes in to any employer and puts down that he's homeschooled, he's more likely to get the job than if he puts down he's public schooled. That's a fact. So the perceptions that many people have about homeschool versus public school are in error. Now, there's another factor. Great minds do not come from mediocrity. Public schools hold the greatest pool of mediocre minds in the nation. The intelligentsia of America today do not educate their children in the public schools. Homeschool is private tutoring. The Apostle Paul studied law at the feet of Gamaliel. That's called private tutoring. Public school is, in fact, a foreign and alien philosophy or ideology. Public school is a communist program. It is the 10th plank to the Communist Manifesto. Public school violates 7 statutes in the Mosaic Law. Public school is a criminal enterprise. Public school is staffed by the least competent people in our society. And finally, the poorest form of education among the three is public school. In every test, in every analysis, homeschool is number one in academic excellence. The children on average score at the 87th percentile. Private school is second, where the average student scores at the 80th percentile. Public school is last, where the average child in America scores at the 50th percentile, unless they're going to an inner city public school such as New York, Los Angeles, or Chicago, where they score at the 28th percentile. Next. What would happen if we sent every child to college and made every child in America a professional? There would be no workers. That's the ultimate conclusion. Now, when I went to high school, there was a constant barrage. It was never ending. That the purpose of high school is to prepare you for college. I didn't want to go to college. I didn't go to college. I was more interested in ag shop and in farming. I was interested in anything but college and the professions. I was not interested in being a doctor or a dentist or a psychiatrist or a psychologist or an engineer or a philosopher. I wasn't interested in any of that. What I was interested in was machines and machinery and farming and animals and animal husbandry. But, you know, the teachers are all academians, aren't they? And they're sitting there telling us that we should become teachers and doctors and engineers and lawyers and all of these other professions. All right, so I just looked at that and said, well, if you're really telling us the straight skinny and everybody should be a professional, then who's going to run the farms? Who's going to be Mr. Goodwrench and fix the cars? Lawyers don't fix cars. Lawyers don't produce food. Doctors, you know, they're not out here gathering the garbage and dumping it at the public dump. Somebody's got to be the garbage man, don't they? So the bottom line is, and here's where you're at in America. You know, there's this great debate going on right now about illegal aliens coming into the country. When I was a kid, there was no shortage of labor. The high school kids in the summertime went out and worked on the farms. Not anymore. Today, in the summertime, the kids are all down at Battlefield Mall playing video games. They're not out working. They've got purple hair. Their pants are down around the seat of their pants. It hangs down around their knees. And they've got rings in their ears and in their noses. And they're playing video games. There isn't one of them that could put in a day's work if his life depended on it. He wouldn't know what the hell to do, much less have the physical energy to go do it. So we got to have Mexicans come in to do it. Well, now, if you bring in 100 million Mexicans, I mean, you know, if you think that that immigration is good, and if you think diversity is good, why don't you just invite in 300 million Chinese? I'll just bet you that the Chinese government would love it. Just open immigration to the Chinese and bring in 300 million Chinese. Then you'd have 300 million Americans, 300 million Chinese. Hell, if it's that good, why don't you bring in, you know, maybe 100 million Indonesians, 50 million Japanese, maybe another 100 million people from South America, until the Americans of today represent about 10 or 15% of the total population. Now, what do you think America is going to be like when you bring in all these foreigners and aliens? Do you think maybe it might change your social structure? I don't know, kids. I don't think that turning everybody into a professional was a very good idea, but that's what we've done in America. And as a result of that, you don't have enough laborers out here to pick oranges. So you got to bring them in from overseas. This is making a very fundamental change, which God told you. He said, the stranger that's within your gates will rise up high above you and bring you down very low. Boys and girls, they're going to just vote you right out of office, and they're going to vote into office their own guys, their own agenda. Now, they're calling it the New World Order. So I just thought I'd point that out. What would happen if we let every child in America go to college? And we've already done that. It doesn't take every child. It just takes a preponderance. There would be no workers, and we would have to import laborers from Mexico, which is what we're doing. The foreigners would make up a larger and larger percentage of our population until we would be displaced in our own land. We would have 31% to 50% to 62%. Take a look at Deuteronomy 28:43. In 1960, 90% of Americans were white Anglo-Saxons and 10% were all other races. Today, it's 32%, 68% white and 32% all others. And by the year 2050, it's going to be 50% white and 50% all others. Now, boys and girls, where do you think that's going to lead? Huh? Now, doctors, lawyers, teachers, engineers, psychologists, psychiatrists, social workers, and journalists, and dentists, and professors, and judges, and criminologists, and all these people in the world, corporate businessmen, bankers, clergy, all these people have jobs in society, but they're all non-producers. The professions produce nothing. Just tell me what in the hell a lawyer, a doctor, or a clergyman produces. The people that are the producers of America are the blue-collar workers. They're the guys that produce the oranges and the apples and the food and the automobiles and the big screen TVs. Whether it's the Chinese blue-collar workers or whether it's the American blue-collar workers, it's the workers in the beehive that are the producers. Queens, drones, guards produce nothing. They're liabilities. So we're producing in America an entire population of liabilities without any assets. And we would have the highest number of lawyers in the world with the least justice. And that's where we're at. We've got the highest number of lawyers of any country in the world and the poorest justice system that you could imagine. 30%, for instance, of rape convictions are false. 30%. If we had all of these professionals, we would have the highest number of doctors in the world with the highest disease rate. We Americans have more doctors per capita than anybody in the world, and we have the highest disease rate of any country in the world. That's what the professions have brought us. We would have the highest number of criminologists, along with the highest crime rate in the world, with more people in jail. America has more people in jail than anybody else in the world. We have the highest rate of crime of anybody in the world, and we have the most criminologists of anybody in the world. We would have the world's largest economy, along with the world's biggest banks and the greatest debt on earth. We Americans have the greatest debt on earth. We have the biggest banks, and our dollar is in the process of imploding. All from the professionals. We would have the largest and most expensive education system in the world, and we would have the world's most ignorant children. We have the world's biggest and bestest educational system in the world, and our children are among the dullest and the poorest students in the world. We would have the world's largest, most far-reaching media system and the worst and poorest informed people on planet Earth. And that's exactly what we have with our journalists that work for Rupert Murdoch and CBS and NBC. We would have the biggest corporations and multinational companies in the world and the most corrupt business leaders on Earth, people like Ken Lay and Enron. We would have the world's largest and most far-reaching social services network, removing nearly 3 million children from their homes every year. And we call those social workers. We would have more dentists per capita than any other country in the world, and along with the highest rate of tooth decay on Earth. We Americans have the highest rate of tooth decay and more dentists than any other country in the world. We would have, in addition, we would end up with more psychiatrists than any other nation in the world, while at the same time we would have the largest population of mentally unbalanced people or psychopathic drugs like Ritalin and Prozac. And that's precisely what we've got. Now, we wanted the professions, and now we've got them. And with the professions, we have the world's biggest problems. We have more crime than anybody, more tooth decay, more disease, and we have more doctors, we have more psychologists and psychiatrists and more lawyers than anybody in the world. The professions have not solved our problems. The professions are our problem. All right, let me give you a reminder here that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard worldwide over the Internet daily. Now, if you'd like more information about the law school and the Law Hour, please go to our website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Remember, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. It is open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact disc. If you'd like more information, please go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has our radio log schedule and archives, and that can be accessed through our website. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events, and we do it 7 days a week. The law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the law school direct at 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this network or of this local radio station. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, Please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or you can call the law school direct at 417-273-4967. Now, we all participate in a certain number of criminal activities, activities that are prohibited in the Bible, prohibited in the scripture, but made legal by our legislatures. You know, things like passing your seed through the fire to Moloch. We call that abortion, you know, in the real world. We say, well, you know, abortion is legal, and we practice abortion here in America. Now, abortion used to be a crime. It was a crime because it's prohibited in the Bible. And we woke up and got smart. We went to college, you know. Somebody in college said, well, you know, that fetus isn't really human. That fetus is something else. And so it's okay if you terminate that fetus's life. Now, the scripture tells you another story. And so there's a number of these criminal activities over here that we participate in this public school forum over here. For instance, we go to public school and they teach us that the census is good and that we should all participate in the census. But the census violates 2 Samuel 24, verses 1 through 25, and 1 Chronicles 21, verses 1 through 30. So there are two statutes there that God told us that we ought to practice, and the public schools tell us, oh no, God made a mistake, you should practice the census. Number two, the draft violates. And so we go to public school and they say, oh, you need to go down and register for the draft so that you can serve your nation in times of war and peace. The draft violates Exodus 23, verses 32 and 33, Exodus 34, verses 10 through 17, Leviticus 18, verses 3 through 5, Deuteronomy 7, verses 1 and 2, Numbers 31, verses 1 through 54, Deuteronomy 20, verses 1 through 20, Deuteronomy 21, verses 10 through 14, Deuteronomy 24, verse 5, and Deuteronomy 28, verses 15 through 68. I didn't add those up, but that's about 8 or 10 laws in the Bible that just going down and registering for the draft violates. And the public school assures us, oh, you should go down and register for the draft. Number three, vaccinations. It violates Leviticus 11, Deuteronomy 14, Deuteronomy 14, 21, Leviticus 3:17, Genesis 9:4, Exodus 15, 26, and 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20. That's vaccinations. In fact, you can't even send your kid to public school without having him vaccinated. Well, that's what they tell you, but that's a lie. You can send him to public school without vaccinations. I know I did all of mine. I sent my children to public school. That was when I had my head up the wrong end of my anatomy, but they didn't have vaccinations. I had one thing going for me. Number four, public school violates Exodus 18, 20, Exodus 24, 12, Leviticus 10, verses 11, or verse 11, Leviticus 14, 54 to 57, Deuteronomy 4. I mean, I could go on here. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10 laws in the scripture that tell you turning your kid over to have somebody else educating him in opposition to the scripture, the law of God, violates those 10 laws. Now, of course, maybe that's what you intended to do. Well, okay. No, I'm not here criticizing you if that's what you want. But oftentimes people call the law school and they're just up in arms about what the public schools are teaching. I say, well, why in hell do you send your kid to public school? Why would you send your kid to some place that you don't agree with or that you think's wrong? And I told you already. I say, well, they'll put me in jail if I don't. So I already covered that for you. There's a provision made for homeschool. Why don't you take advantage of it? If you want your kid to have a Mohawk haircut and the scraggly pieces that are still up there dyed purple, wearing a baggy pair of pants down to his butt, or down to his knees. No, it isn't on his butt, it's on his, down to his knees. Well, public school is the place to send him. That's where they teach you. If you want your kid to turn into a drug addict, give him Ritalin and send him off to public school. Now, if you're opposed to that, well, why don't you think about doing something different? There's an old adage used to go, well, do something, even if it's wrong. You know, do something different. Now, income tax. You know, you go to public school and they teach you to pay the income tax. That violates 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10 laws of the Bible. Just paying the damn income tax violates 10 laws that God gave us at Mount Sinai. How about Social Security? That violates 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 laws of the Bible. Participating in Social Security, the third rail of politics. Insurance violates 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 laws of the Scripture. Home mortgages violate 2. Credit cards violate 3. Checking accounts violate 3. Bank loans violate 3. Consumer credit violates 3. Auto loans violate 3. Now, you go to public school and they teach you to take out a mortgage, get a credit card, open a checking account, participate in bank loans, consumer credit, and finance your automobile. But they don't tell you that it violates the law of God. Number 9, unclean meats violates 2 chapters of the scripture, Leviticus 11 and Deuteronomy 14. There must be 25, 30, maybe 40 statutes there. And then fat. You know, you go to McDonald's and eat fat, or they'll take you right out of public school, and on a field trip, they'll stop at McDonald's so that you can get your daily dose of fat. Violates Leviticus 3:17 and Deuteronomy 7:22 through 25. The public schools teach your children to perform criminal activities, criminal activities that we have all been taught to participate in, such as the census, the draft, vaccinations, public school, the income tax, social security, insurance, home mortgages, credit cards, checking accounts, bank loans, consumer credit, auto loans, the eating of unclean meats and fats. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. Just the tip. And then people will wonder, well, I don't know why God would let my daddy die or old Roy died. Well, because he's a criminal. Uncle Roy died because he was a criminal. Where did he learn his criminal activities? He learned them in public school. Here's seven things that God hates. He says, number one, I hate a proud look. Well, have you seen the 16-year-old girls smoking dressed like whores and the boys in their gang modes hanging out at the DX service station over here at Ludi? Have you ever watched those kids out there? Where did they learn that? They didn't learn at home school. They learned that over there at the Ludi High School. Number two, he hates a lying tongue. Evolution is a scientific lie. In fact, that's even incorrect. Evolution isn't even scientific. Science is knowledge. Evolution doesn't even rise to the level of knowledge. It's a fantasy. At best, a fantasy. Promulgated by pseudoscientists in the guise of teachers who are wolves in sheep's clothing. Number three says, I hate hands that shed innocent blood. Now, I just saw a number here the other day, and it was pretty startling. Here in America, since Roe v. Wade, we have performed 40 million abortions. That's 40 million people that should be alive today, breathing air, since 1973 that aren't. And over a billion worldwide. A billion worldwide. Hands that shed innocent blood. Now, there's a lot of innocent blood being shed, but boys and girls, you can't get more innocent blood than an unborn child. And then the no substitute, there are no absolutes, rather. No right or wrong. Moral misguidance coupled with drugs like Ritalin, Thorazine. They produce a suicide rate, a murder rate, such as we see in the public schools nationwide. That's the hands that shed innocent blood. Now, number four, a heart that devises wicked imaginations. A heart that devises wicked imaginations. Are there any wicked imaginations going on in our society? How about President Bush over there with his wicked imaginations in Afghanistan and Iraq? How about the wicked imaginations of knocking down two buildings in New York because they were an economic loss and killing 3,000 people in the process, and then using that as the excuse to go to war and kill a million people in the process over the last 5 years? I mean, that strikes me as being about as close to a heart that devises wicked imaginations as you can come up with. Number five, feet that be swift in running to mischief, such as vaccination, census, usury, public school, home mortgages, credit cards, checking accounts. You know, just to name a few. Number six, God says he hates a false witness that speaks lies. Have you been watching Alberto Gonzalez, the chief police officer of the nation, you know, the attorney general? Have you been listening to him lie to the Congress? They're about to indict him for perjury. He's a false witness. The president's a false witness. Dick Cheney is a false witness. Donald Rumsfeld is a false witness. These people lie when the truth would serve their purpose better. So God says, you know, I hate false witnesses. They had a guy the other day, his name was Scooter Libby. And he lied. And the president pardoned him the other day. Did you see that? All right. Now, number seven, God says, and he that sows discord among brethren, such as the NEA, the largest teachers union, adopted a resolution saying that home schools cannot provide a comprehensive education and urging that only licensed certified teachers be allowed to teach children in any school, public, private, or at home. That's your National Education Association. These are wicked, evil people that sow discord. Now, of course, you know, at this juncture of time, God's keeping a hands-off profile. He hasn't, you know, come against anybody and gotten real excited or upset yet. But he promises that he will. God, I can hardly wait until I see this come to pass. Over here in chapter 7 of Deuteronomy, listen to this. Every time I read this, I kind of get goosebumps and I say, I wonder if he's really going to do this. Listen to this. He says in chapter 7, he starts off, he says, Know therefore that the eternal your God, he is God, the faithful God, which keeps covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. And repays them that hate him to his face, to destroy them. And he will not be slack to him that hates him, and he will repay him to his face. Every one of you NEA teachers over there, they're standing up in your schools and lying to the children. And you know that you're lying to them because you're afraid to teach the truth, because if you ever taught the truth in your public school, you know that you would lose your job, don't you? Well, the honorable thing to do would be to resign, leave public school, go into private teachings and teach the truth. A lot of public school teachers know that they're lying to the students. They know that the textbooks are false. But they continue to teach the faults in the textbooks because if they ever taught the truth, they'd lose their jobs. The bottom line is, if all of us would just tell the truth, you know, we would give up this false witness crap. You know, there's a commandment, 10 commandments, you know, thou shalt not bear false witness. I mean, if we would just stop doing that, pretty soon there wouldn't be any public school teachers. Therefore, there wouldn't be any public schools, and then we wouldn't have this problem, would we? But as long as you've got lying false witnesses in the guise of an NEA teacher who's willing to stand up and lie to your children, there's another side to the coin. If you knew that the teachers were lying to your children in public school and teaching them false doctrine, wouldn't you then have a duty as a parent to remove your child from the public school and at least do something different? Something, I don't know what you might want to do, but do something different to protect your child from that false doctrine. Do you honest to God believe that you should send your child to an environment where he's being lied to, misled, and deceived? Would you Baptist send your child to a Catholic church or to a Catholic environment to have him miseducated in religion? Why would you send your child then to a public school and have him misled politically, socially, and economically? All right, so much for the seven things that God hates. There's a little more to the story. What's wrong with public school? Number one, it is anti-God. Number two, it is anti-prayer. Number three, it is anti-Ten Commandments. Number four, it is amoral. Number five, it is immoral. Public school, number six, costs twice as much as private school. Number seven, what's wrong with public school? It costs 10 times more than homeschool. Number eight, public school graduates students who cannot read. Public schools employ incompetent teachers. Public schools employ sodomites as teachers. Public schools teach our children communism. Public schools teach our children socialism. Public schools teach our children abortion. Public schools teach our children sodomy. Public schools teach our children fornication. Public schools teach our children whoredom. Public schools teach our children witchcraft. Public schools teach our children the seven things that God hates and teaches that they're good and righteous. Public school is a place for rape, robbery, bombings, murder, arson, burglary, vandalism, extortion, drugs, venereal disease, abortion. It teaches evolution. What's wrong with public school? Public schools teach crime in the form of the census and vaccinations. Public schools teach crime in the form of public education, income tax, social security, insurance, and usury in banking. Public schools teach crime to your children in the form of unjust weights, in home mortgages, credit cards, checking accounts, bank loans, consumer credit, auto loans. Public school is a place where children carry weapons. Public school is a place for teenage pregnancy. Public school is a place for children who fear for their safety. Public school is a place where teachers fear for their safety. Public school is a place with no absolutes. It's a place with no rights or wrongs. It's a place of mediocrity at best. It's a place of underachievement. It is a place of ignorance. It stimulates suicide. Public school stimulates alcohol abuse. Public school stimulates gangs and gang wars. Public school is a place of declining academic standards. Public school inflates student grade point averages. It's filled with lies. It turns out students who can't qualify for entry-level jobs. Public school, or no aspect of public school, is worth emulating, so say the Japanese. What's wrong with public school? Well, there are 60. That's what's wrong with public school. Now, the public school system is the 10th plank of the Communist Manifesto. Public school costs us twice as much as private school and 10 times more than homeschool. Public school teaches our sons sodomy, our daughters whoredom, and it does it in a perfect socialist environment. Remember these six things does the eternal hate? Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. As we read in Proverbs 6, verses 16 through 19, he says, I hate a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaks lies, and he that sows discord among brethren. Public school teaches and promotes all seven of these abominations that God hates. Public school is a place of rape, robbery, burglary, arson, bombings, murder, vandalism, extortion, drug abuse, witchcraft, fornication, and venereal disease. And you send your children there every day with a lunch. Public school has totally expunged God, prayer, the Ten Commandments, and morality from the educational system. And you send your children there every day to be taught the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto and every filthy, vile, perverse program that they can imagine in their wicked imaginations. And you send them there with lunch. Public schools hire incompetent teachers with diplomas and credentials who cannot teach Johnny to read. Your public schools are filled with sodomites to teach Johnny an alternative lifestyle as a matter of public policy, and then graduates more than a million functional illiterates every year who cannot read their own diplomas. And you send them there with lunch. Public school teaches that premarital sexual activity is good for adolescents, furnishes condoms to them for the students, then encourages sexual relations among and between children, and then provides abortion services for pregnant girls, all at public expense and without any notice required to parents at all. And you send your child to that environment with lunch. And your public school teaches a fairy tale called evolution in place of creation. They teach communism in place of our Constitution. They teach socialism in place of our Bill of Rights and property rights. And you send your children there with lunch. And finally, your public school teaches crime in violation of the scripture by teaching us to practice the census, the draft, vaccinations, public school, income tax, social security, insurance, and usury in the form of home mortgages, credit cards, checking accounts, bank loans, consumer credit, and auto loans. These eight criminal activities violate 65 statutes of the Mosaic Law. They violate 5 of the Ten Commandments. And we learn all of that and more from our public schools. And you send your children there with their lunches to learn that kind of filth and swill. If a foreign nation committed any of these acts against our children, we would go to war. If Coca-Cola, PepsiCo, or Pizza Hut did any of these abominations against any child in this country, we would scream for the police. We would scream for laws. We would scream for legislation. We would scream for protection. But we bundle up our children, pack them a lunch, and send them to this environment every single day. Now, as an institution derived from communism, built upon evil, creating ignorance and promoting crime, public school is second to none in holy veneration in the hearts and in the minds of the vast majority of Americans. But I gotta ask, why? Why on earth would we do that to our children? All right, you're listening to The Law Hour and Editorial Review, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard worldwide over the Internet daily. If you'd like more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, that's 8 schools in all. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, then please go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. And The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Hair time's up. We've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.